Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 16th of October, recording at 9:51 p.m., and it's still British summertime. Now, first the highlights today. Asian stock markets, some of them were down quite sharply. Most of them were down quite sharply. European stock markets, that was following on, of course, from Wall Street's weakness last night. European stock markets started very weak. Recovered a significant portion of the gains, but then lost those recoveries as Wall Street soon weakened sharply in the first hour of its opening, hour or two of its opening. But the Dow, I think it was probably down at least 370 points at one stage, then sort of seesawed, it narrowed the decline, and then moved a bit positive by 100 or so points, then back negative by that amount. But then closed near the highs of the day, up 401 points, and that puts it up 4.6%. We had 4.25% gain on the S&P. And the NASDAQ composite was up 5.5%. Looking elsewhere, government bonds were mostly a bit easier. There was a firmer tone in the U.S. dollar, although, well, it's mixed here. Firmer tone in the dollar against the euro and... Well, you notice it's being pegged back in here as I look at the screen. Sorry about the confusion. The Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar are fairly steady in here today. The U.S. dollar index is currently up as I speak. It's at 82.39. That's up 340 ticks. Now, we had quite a bit of selling pressure in the commodities here today. Well, the main hits were in the metals sector. The industrial metals all fell, and gold got clipped by $42.50. That's the after-hour trading figure. It was lower at one stage. Got down to 876.25. It's currently 804.38. And as I said, most of the soft commodities were down, although I see soybeans appear to be an exception. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, with stock markets like this, who needs base jumping? But we did have Wall Street catch an updraft, as you can see. And that may help to steady the Asian markets in the morning, but still there's plenty of rock and roll. There's plenty of nervousness out here, but again, we've seen a lot of climactic activity, as Owen was pointing out last week, and as we both continued to point out this week. And good heavens, you don't need us to point it out. You know it, with these record declines that we have been seeing in terms of speed. The considerable overextension on the downside relative to the declining moving averages, the general panicky move in the markets, but of course that has galvanized our wise leaders, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there, at to the Treasury ministries and the central banks, who are in rate chopping mode. When we look back on this, I think my feeling is that we'll look back on the fourth quarter of 2008 as the time when central banks really got their act together and chopped rates significantly. But they continue to peck away and lowering reserve requirements with some of the commercial banks in some of the countries. So everything is or all of these government authorities now seem to be focused on helping their banking sectors and to mitigate economic weakness. Now, again, these are reactive moves. It takes time to kick in, not least for stock markets, although it'll kick in for stock markets before it kicks in for the global economy. So I should have had it the other way around. All said and done, though, I think that we are either at or close to a bottom in here for at least some mean reversion in terms of the 200-day moving averages. Now, what I'd like to see, as you know, and Owen and I have been showing the TED spread chart, and that also that OIS chart on practically a daily basis, we do need to see those come down further. They are easing, but it is pretty gradual still at this stage. I do expect it to say steadier action, but this has been catch a falling knife zone. It's also hair raising in terms of tactics. People have described it as a trading market, but I know some pretty sophisticated traders who feel that the odds of being whipsawed have turned this into too much of a casino, or with, if some people feel that markets are always a casino, but if we stick with that analogy that the odds are too heavily in favor of the house because of this incredible whipsaw volatility, we have to risk too much in pursuit of profit. So it's not a bad time to stay relatively quiet, but of course that's what people have been doing. A lot of people have been doing that, and if buyers are absent, then of course it doesn't take much to push these markets on the downside, and the very sharp rallies are mostly caused by short covering. Well, we can expect this to last a little bit longer, and then it'll gradually play out, and we will see steadier market action. One of the points that I've made, and as have others, is that stock markets will do better when they stop falling on bad news. And we've had pretty well unrelenting bad news. And I think that Philadelphia Fed indicator, which was an important one, that helped to clobber Wall Street not long after its opening here today. Very weak data. But the market eventually shrugged it off and closed on the higher side. So that's my feeling, that between now and the end of the year, there's actually more upside on the stock markets, in stock markets, than downside. But are these problems going to linger on for a very long time? Absolutely. Will we have more skeletons tumbling out of the closet? I think it's pretty well guaranteed. What might those skeletons include? Well, there'll be more banking-related thing problems, more insurance-related problems. There will inevitably be some hedge fund failures, but from what I hear, hedge funds are, the average hedge fund, is there such a thing? Probably not. But many hedge funds have high levels of cash. Got that from someone in the industry today. And a problem, though, is that a lot of people have been taking the capitulation trade. Now, that's always sad when that happens at the end of, or in the latter stage of a bear market, and it does happen in the latter stage of the bear market. What happens is that we all wish we'd taken the capitulation trade at the beginning of the decline. And some did or thought about doing it and then didn't for one reason or another. But what happens in all these declines, and particularly with the least experienced investors, is that they finally give up just as the decline is almost over. Now, as I said, as we all often say on this service, if you're going to panic early. And I think this is, we've seen a lot of panicking recently, and that's panicking very late in the game, evidenced by the big downward moves that we've seen and the levels of nervousness that we see in markets. Okay, I think a problem also regarding a capitulation trade in the unit trusts and mutual funds, which are not hedge funds, and most of these are long-only funds, that we are still seeing selling pressure in those instruments, and we are still seeing some global deleveraging, but. This has been going on for really some time now, and you look around and we say commodities have really taken a beating, stock markets have really taken a beating, house prices are certainly taking a beating, and this has gone a long way towards unwinding any bubbles. I mean, are there any bubbles that that remain in here today? Not that I'm aware of, and although some are still deflating, and we could extrapolate those deflations, particularly perhaps house prices, further into the future. But this is pretty well known by stock markets generally, and therefore a lot of it is. Has already been discounted. So again, I feel that between now and the end of the year, that we will see more upside than downside for stock markets. And if that's right, then that will most likely carry into the new year as well. And in terms of crisis problems of before. Well, look at the price of crude oil that dipped under $70 in here today. Currently it's 72.19, but it got down to 68.57. So that's one heck of a move, and on the downside. And what I think this is as a relevant aside here. Some people held the view that price of crude oil was so strong and the price of metals was so strong that countries such as India and all the others that have these big infrastructure development programs would not be able to afford that infrastructure. Well, the numbers have changed very significantly, particularly for industrial metals. So, as we look across the chasm and come out of this, the next side, we will certainly see all that demand pick up quite strongly. But we have to be patient here for a while longer. Now, what about gold? Well, you know that my least favorite argument for buying gold is fear, and I. I'm not thrilled with the leadership of the other precious metals. Gold has done exceedingly well in some of the weaker currencies, what have been the weaker currencies, such as the Australian dollar. But I was looking at gold and Australian dollars this morning, and it looks pretty overextended to me. So I'd be a little careful there. And I spoke to one hedge fund manager today, who I know quite well, and who's an exceptionally good trader, and he just said it's too dangerous. Here it's too easy to give money away. He was really talking on just consolidating their capital, playing it safe for a while longer, and keeping his eye on. Some of the long-term themes that he and their organization like, and that included a number of floor money themes, but with a high on the list, though, being the China and India plays, but not doing anything yet, just watching on the basis that a move in the not too distant future, a move in the form of some buying in those markets, will be one of the next big plays. I agree. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.